Bible study. But I'm thinking about that last song, Nikki, about surrender. That's a, man, surrender is not an easy thing, especially for people like ourselves. I mean, we surrendering to God's will and surrendering to the things of the Lord are not easy because, you know, we think that we are all that in a bag of chips. How's that? But I do want to say this. We see a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to talk about them a little bit when I get to the sermon. We see the fires, right, that we need to pray for that. We see what happened in Florida, right, with the building coming down. I'm going to speak a little bit about that. But there is a scripture that says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers until the pains of childbirth together until now." Basically, the creation, seeing all these catastrophes, because it's out of whack because of sin, the creation wants to get back to normal. And that's only going to be when Christ returns. So even the creation is groaning because it's out of whack. You know, this is in the New Jerusalem, there's not going to be these fires. You know, this is because, and I know, listen, you know why these things are happening? Because of sin. This is the reason. This is what the Bible tells us. Now, if you tell that to Fox News or CNN, whatever you like, they'll think you're crazy. But this is the reason. This is why the creation groans for the redemption of the sons of men. Because when the last person is saved, no matter when that is, then the New Jerusalem eventually take place. And that's going to be a Harlan. That'll be a glorious day, right? Let's stand. Let's pray. Let's think about that as we get ready to worship God in contemplation and sermon. Dear Lord, as we contemplate our sin before you, as Miss Kathy plays, we are sinners in need of a Savior. And as we contemplate all these things that are happening in the world, I mean, it's got to give us some, I pray, that it gives us a godly perspective. Because if there is no God, and Paul said, if there's no God, then we are men that are much pitied. Because this world, if it's just up to itself and all these ideologies and all these things, we are men that and women that would be much pitied. But we know that there is a God. And we know that there is a God in Christ through the Spirit who rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that's what we live on. So as Kathy plays this morning, as we contemplate, let us just humble ourselves before the mighty throne of God, knowing that He is all-wise, all-knowing, and everything is under His control. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you, Miss Kathy, for that. Okay, so usually we start off in the New Testament, but I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench, and we're going to go to Amos first. Let's go to the book of Amos. We are, man, so this is what I'm thinking about, so don't charge me if I change my mind. But we are starting the seventh division of Amos this morning. And as we know, we should be good readers of the text. Amos is nine chapters. So pray for me as we work through this. I don't know how long it'll take me to finish the couple of more chapters. But I am going to be thinking about going to the Epistle of the Ephesians for our next sermon series. So keep me in prayer with that as I'm trying to look to see where God is. And I think that's what we're going to do as of now. Okay, so you know when you get excited, you just want to say something. I got something to say, but I'm going to try to hold it. That's hard for me to hold things. So I want to, let me read the text. Maybe that'll calm me down. So go to Amos. I'm going to read from 6:14 all the way through 7:6, which isn't that many. I'm going to stop there, and then I'm going to expound on that if I may. Starting in the sixth division of Amos, 14th verse, reading all the way 7 through 6. For behold, I'm going to raise up a nation against you, O house of Israel, declares the Lord God of hosts, and they will afflict you from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Arabah. That's the northern kingdom. We know that this is dealing with the northern kingdom. Thus the Lord God showed me, this is important, first time in the book of Amos, the Lord God showed me, and behold, he was forming a locust swarm when the spring crop began to sprout, and behold, the spring crop was after the king's mowing. In other words, the king already got his end. So here's the crop, the king takes his end, he gets his stuff, but, and then it came about when it had finished eating the vegetation of the land that I said, Lord God, please pardon. How can Jacob stand? For he is small. The Lord relented or changed his mind about this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Thus the Lord God showed me, and behold, the Lord God was calling to contend with them by fire. Another natural disaster. And it consumed the great deep and began to consume the farmland. Amos is seeing this in a vision. Then I said, Lord God, please stop. How can Jacob stand? For he is small. The Lord changed his mind about this. And this too shall not be, said the Lord God. See, this is the other dimensional aspect of who God is. You see, God, this is when you see the vision. Now, this is the first time that Amos actually has a vision. But we serve a God that is other dimensional. You see, he's showing Amos things that will happen in the future, right? And now we need to, listen, man, don't you, listen, before I even starting on this sermon, we need to know that we serve a sovereign God who knows the end from the beginning. We don't serve a God who does not know the end from the beginning. We serve a God that is able to reveal to his people what is going on. Now, we don't need that today because we got the whole canon of scripture. But here Amos gets a vision of something that's coming up. And what does he do? He repents. Lord, please. And that's what we see here. We see the other dimensional aspect here. And we're going to follow this a little bit this morning. Last week we spoke about the Lord's judgment and the warning that was given concerning short-lived success, showing that one should not rest in their own achievements. We live in a world today that people are just resting in their own achievements, right? But no one is exempt from God's judgment. Divine scrutiny knows no bounds. In fact, we spoke about last week in some households, they were advised not to mention the Lord's name. Like that would stop the Lord from bringing judgment, right? Just don't mention his name. And, you know, we won't talk. See, it's the same way today. I looked at that text, right? I'll never get finished if I do this. But here's the deal. I looked at that text and I says, how far are we removed from that? Ron, you mentioned the Lord's name today. They're looking to, who knows, put you in jail, right? Been there, done that. But I'm only saying, I mean, this is the world that we live in today. Don't mention the Lord's name. It, you know, but that's not going to stop the Lord from judging the people that are not his people. That's not going to stop it. And again, we see here in the book of Amos now, what I like about this, now Amos is now other dimensional. See, we don't serve a ordinary God. Here, Amos sees these upcoming disasters, so to speak. This is the prophetic visions of the upcoming judgments. And despite Amos's pleas to stop, we're going to find out judgment is imminent. Here the prophet is brought into the other dimensional aspect of God's revelation. See, this is something we have to realize. There's a divine chain that we will follow a little bit today. Nikki, the divine chain here is from God to Amos. So Amos is getting divine revelation from God. But sometimes God, you will see later, will use God, Christ, the prophet, and then the people. So here it's God, Amos, and the people. He's speaking in the stead of God. And that's why when we read our word, we have to realize, Tony, that these are actually God's words. And here, Amos sees this vision, and it's these natural disasters that are coming on God's people. We can relate to some natural disasters that are happening today, can we not? I'm going to get to that in a second. Okay, so first six verses, we encounter natural disasters concerning God's upcoming judgment. God is saying, affliction's on the way. Now, Shalom Paul depicts that these locusts come in the spring when the vegetables and onions are beginning to sprout. Now, here's what happened. The king gets his share. He gets his end. You see, when the king's mowing, he gets his food, so to speak. But then there's a problem. This locust attack would be, now there's no food for the people to eat. So the king gets his little share. He usually uses that to feed his horses and stuff. But now the locust attack comes. That means the people have nothing to eat. And Amos intercedes concerning the upcoming catastrophe. He says, Lord, how can Jacob stand if he has no food? Well, let me say this. How can we stand if we have no spiritual food? Now, right? Jacob represents who? Israel. That's a moniker for Israel. How can Israel stand if it can't eat? True. Us too. But think about this. How can we stand if we don't have no spiritual food? I think about that as I think about Amos, because Amos is here interceding for the people. He's saying, Lord, if they don't eat, how are they going to live? And Carol depicts there's no repentance on the people's part. Okay. No repentance on the people's part. So we look at that and we say, no repentance on the people's part. You know what that means to me? Which it means today. People have lost touch with God. Lost touch. Don't see things the way that they should see them. They don't have no divine perception. They have no other dimensional outlook. There's so much on the surface. Where's the study group on, was it Friday night? Remember when the prophet's servant's eyes were opened? He saw things that everybody else did not see. And so here, people have lost, this is today, people have lost touch with God, right? Let me see, losing touch with God. Now, people may hear about God. They may know some things about God, Miss Kathy, Miss Glinda. But they have no, talk to me, relationship with God. And you repent because you have a relationship. You realize God is holy. You realize you're a sinner. The Spirit acknowledges that and you repent. But here, obviously, there's no relationship. Right? The sad state of affairs is if we are in right relationship with God, we know what is at stake. If we know, if we are in, Miss Ashley, Jean, if we are in right relationship with God, we know there's judgment coming upon this earth. We know that. We read our word. We know there's judgment coming on this earth. Let me hold that a second. Let me just see where I'm at here. So Carol depicts that God redirects his actions. Verse 3, Amos intercedes. He says, Lord, Mimi, you please. And God redirects his actions, right? Because of the prophet's plea. But there's no want. Okay, so the prophet redirects God's actions. But what's the problem? There's no want. Talk to me. There's no repentance, right? I mean, there's no repentance on the people's part or you only repent with somebody if you have a relationship, right? So there's no repentance. Even though the prophet is interceding, there's no repentance. There's no repentance on the people's part. So here, this is how the picture is set up. Now, we know God is eternal and he knows what's going on, but this is happening in real time. There's no repentance, which does not bode well for them, right? So we go from the locust plague to what? He sees another vision. What's the other vision? The fire, right? He sees the fire, which would, now what would the fire do? Now think about this. We know about fires, man, right? We live in the desert. So do they. The fires would dry up the farmland from water and would burn it up. We can relate to these desert region fires as we are now experiencing some very bad fires. And we know it can bring on devastation, evacuation, to say the least. But again, Amos intercedes concerning the upcoming devastation of fires that he has seen. He pleads for Israel. He pleads. And the Lord what? The Bible says he relents. He relents. Now, we've read, Ben, you know, we've read numerous times in the Old Testament where judgment will be forthcoming and God would spare some people, especially when his prophet intervenes, right? We've seen that with Isaiah, we've seen that with Ezekiel, right? But the overall picture here, judgment still looms. And listen, we must pray for people. We must. We must pray for our family salvation. We must pray for some people who are in marriages, Gene, that the husband might be saved and the wife. It happens if they both get married at unbelievers. These things happen, and we have to pray for our husbands. We have to pray for our wives. But no, and we got to pray that they what? Talk to me, repent, because even though Amos is praying, judgment is still on the horizon. Right? Judgment is still coming. Judgment is still on the horizon. I got here, it says judgment still looms. So even though God is agreeing with the prophet in temporal time, we must remember God is out of time. He knows the end from the beginning. And again, we see the prophet's plea, but there's no what? No repentance. No repentance. I want you to understand, these are not divine parlor games here that are being played. This is serious business. The prophet is willing to intercede, but the people are not willing to repent. So, when you got this, now here's the deal. This is sovereignty and responsibility. This is way above our pay grade. But when you pray and ask God and beg God for people to be saved, if they don't repent, there's going to be judgment. That doesn't change the judgment. But we have to pray. And here Amos prays for the people, but we see no repentance. And then we'll see what happens now. This is the other dimensional aspect. This is why I love the prophets. Because the prophets bring us into the other dimensional. See, we forget. That's why in our Bible study group on Friday, in our life group, I wanted to show people the other dimensional aspect of God. See, it's not all about here. It's about eternal. It's about, do we have the mind of Christ? Do we understand the things of the Lord? Or are we so focused on this world? That's why when Amos sees these visions, that this divine chain, he gets the vision from God, and then Amos brings it to the people. Right? What does he say? The lion roars, but who can but prophesy? And here, and we'll mention that a little later. I'll get into that. So let me go to verses 7 and 7. Now we're going to get the outcome of what's going to happen. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord was standing by a vertical wall with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord said to me, what do you see, Amos? And I said, a plumb line. And the Lord said, behold, I'm about to put a plumb line in the midst of my people. Listen to this. I will spare them no longer. I will spare them. The high places of Isaac, representing Israel, will be desolated, and the sanctuaries of Israel laid waste. Then I will rise up against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Now let me. We know, you know, Simon's here, and I said to myself, Simon's going to be here. Every time I mention plumb line, Simon's here. But I do want to say this about how this wordplay happens in here, because it's a Hebrew idiom. And I'll talk to Simon later about this. But the word plumb line is taken from the word tin. Now, this is a word play. So Hebrew's tough, but it's when you see this, it'll make sense. God. Now, remember, let me give you a background. Israel, remember, during the reign of Jeroboam, Jonah prophesied that their borders would be extended. Remember, that's the crux here. Sometimes we forget that. I want to bring you back to speed. Remember? So, Ron got up and he was laughing, and I lost my train of thought for a second. But Jonah here prophesied that the borders would be extended, and they were. Right? Now, watch this. So, we'll get this, and I'll talk to Simon later about this, but the word plumb line is taken from the word tin. God is saying your walls and your protections are vulnerable like a piece of tin. You think they are secure, but it's an illusion. Invasion is imminent, verse 6 and 14. Amos uses this metaphor to show them they think they are living in a fortified city, thinking their walls are secure, but again they are like tin. Here you go, Simon. They have been measured and found wanting. Listen, we may think, this world may think that they're safe and secure. They got everything. They got money. They got cars. They got jobs. But when they are measured, In the Lord's plumb line, they will be found wanting. And this is exactly here what happened. Israel thinks they're all that in a bag of chips. They got extended borders. They got things are going well. Jeroboam 2, which is a wicked king. Everything is going all right. And here Amos says, judgment is coming. It's on the way. Look at us. We are, right? We got everything. Well, maybe not. I read an article this morning that I think there's no gas in Kentucky or something like that. One of those places, some guy was trying to gas up there. They couldn't, had to make a cross-country road, and there was a trip, but it wasn't enough gas. One of those, I read it this morning, and I'm saying, what the heck? This is the way it is. There wasn't enough. Anyway, let me say this. The prophet, this is important, Carolyn. The prophet no longer intercedes. No longer. First six verses, he was saying, Lord, look. Now no. Eventually, time is going to run out. See, that's the thing about this. God is a gracious, kind God. I'm going to get into that in a second. I'm talking to myself now. That doesn't happen a lot. But God is a gracious, kind God. But accidents happen. No? They do. They happen. He's a kind God, right? So I want you to just keep that as I navigate through this. They do happen. They do happen. They're not going to happen in New Jerusalem. But they happen now, right? The theology. Now, here's the thing. I got this. And we were talking a little bit about this in Bible study. The prophet no longer intercedes. And God's judgment will come forth. Yes, God is sovereign, but people are morally responsible. The theological question about God's sovereignty and man's moral responsibility is not one that we should try to figure out. It's one that we need to contemplate. You're not going to figure that out. God is sovereign. Man is responsible. That stuff is way above our pay grade. But I'm going to tell you something you need to contemplate. Something I need to contemplate, right? Okay, now think about this. Here's some I want to encourage Christians. I really do. I love encouraging people. God's moral standards have been met in Jesus Christ for the true redeemed. It's a true picture of God's grace. Listen, nothing with my hands I bring, only to the cross I cling. Do you understand? You have a moral standard before God that you have to keep. The problem is you can't keep it. But Christ kept it for you. Now, I think it's in Luke 13. Don't go there. Luke 13. Now, I am not going to mention names here, but I was very disturbed at something I seen on Fox News the other night. I'm not much, I have to watch the news. Very, very disturbed. Because if pastors, so to speak, are going to quote scripture, they need to expound the whole word of God or don't say it. Right? They don't, or don't say it. Don't say it. Right? So, obviously, we know what happened in Florida. The buildings came down. That stuff was crazy, man. Did you see that? How does that happen? Right? So obviously, Fox News brings their local pastor on, and he says, that's something that happens, natural disasters, they're in the Bible, and I'm saying, this is good, and that's all he says. I said, wait a minute, that's the, and he goes to Luke 13. He goes there. And I said, wow, this is really cool. This is great. And he just talks about, in Luke 13, there's a Tower of Siloam, it fell down. So natural disasters happen, and, we need to pray for this. And I'm saying, wait a minute, you're a pastor. What does Luke 13 say? Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And he wouldn't say that. And I'm saying, read Luke 13. Read it. You'll see, right? The Tower of Siloam fell. And they went to Jesus. Let me give you the story. They went to Jesus and said, Jesus, man, he says, you know, there were some Galileans that were offering some sacrifices to Pilate, and Pilate killed them. Were they worse sinners than us? Jesus says, didn't even answer that question. What he says is, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. And he goes, what about the Tower in Siloam that fell on 18 people and killed them? Unless you repent, you will in likewise perish. Natural disasters will happen. Accidents will happen. Things will happen. You need to repent and believe the gospel. Because the creation is groaning for the sons of men. The creation wants to get back to normality. And here I am, and pastor, and tell them the whole counsel of God, dude. Tell them the whole, right? Tell them, you know, because you're just sending people to a road to hell. Tell them the whole, they need to repent. Nobody's exempt. Car accidents, right? I mean, you got to repent. You know, I mean, and so when I seen that, I says, man, I thought I was, you know, going to be really excited, but I wasn't. In fact, what this text shows is that sin, rebellion, and lack of repentance will be met with the wrath of God. Verse 8. I'm going to measure my people, and they're going to be found wanting. Their walls are like tin. They're going to come down. I will spare them no longer. And the language in the Hebrew says, I'll pass them by. See, I mean, he'll pass them by. The house of Jeroboam will be destroyed. And think about this. God extended their borders, gave them prosperity through the preaching of Jonah. But what did they do with it? They oppressed the poor and the needy. They were not fair in their business dealing. And this goes for any nation that does not appreciate all that God has given them. The air that we breathe, the food that we have, the sun that we look at, all has been given to us by God. Are we appreciative of that? The babies that we hold, the food, I mean, everything is a gift from God. The question is, do we appreciate that? Carolyn, I'm going to tell you, I think we take it for granted. Not you per se, or not, but I think the world takes it for granted. A lot of times I got to wake up and say, man, I can't, you got a house, a car, breakfast, a wife. I mean, you got to be kidding. What do we really deserve? Exactly. Thank you. Hell, I'll put it on the tape in case they didn't hear you. Right? So, we as a people and a nation have been richly blessed. We live in a land of plenty. Maybe too plenty, too much. We need to be thankful, but instead we want more. Oh, God, help us. These are warning shots. These texts must make us contemplate as individuals and as a congregation, as a nation, no one exempt. And look what it says in verse 9. God is not mocked. The places where they worship will be laid waste. These are places that had all the fancy rituals. They looked holy on the outside, but inside they were what? Dead men, dead bones, right? What do they say? Whitewashed tombs, right? They look all clean on the outside, but inside. See, when I look at all this stuff that's going on in the world, I mean, I know that who knows if it doesn't start getting closer to the church, closer to Casa Grande. And who knows? These things. You see, here's the thing. I've said this before. This shocks me. Years ago, Larry, before any movements, it took 50, 60 years for things to happen, Ron. Today, in 2 weeks, everything's changed. Listen, I'm telling you, my wife is like, I see things sometimes on TV, and I call my wife. My wife says, where you been, kid? Right? I mean, I showed her that thing on TV last night about the credit card, right? I was speaking about this in Bible study. The credit card, it was a credit card commercial about a mother, and I don't know if it was a son or God. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know. I couldn't tell. I think the commercial was doing that. But they were talking about what name they want to be because the person doesn't believe that they were that gender. And I'm saying, wait a minute, is this TV? And I'm like, Rachel, and she's on the phone with Aunt Rose. I'm saying, Rachel, I want you to send, you know, and she's saying, just, I'm talking to my Aunt Rose, her birthday, right? So I'm watching this thing, and the credit card company says, basically, right, Dana, no matter what gender you are or what you are, man, woman, or in the middle, we'll put your name on our credit. I said, wait, what? What is this craziness? And I call Rachel in. Finally, she gets off the phone with Aunt Ro, and she looks at that. She goes, where you been, man? I know all about it. Right? I mean, but this is what the world is. Sue, when would you ever think you would see this in your life, Patty? Right? Where would you ever think? I would never in a million years. Okay. I'm old-fashioned, maybe. That's why I watch the news. But I think I was watching SportsCenter when I seen that. I think if we had a practical application here, these texts teach us to pray for the ones who are lost, hopefully to be found by God's grace. See, Harlan, listen, we speak about this. Ben, why do people preach a watered-down gospel? Why? Do they really do not believe that judgment is imminent? Why do they do it? Why? I don't understand, Ron. There's too much at stake. I mean, you got a pastor on television in front of millions of people, and it's a perfect time to say, hey, you need to repent. The tower could fall on you. The car accident could happen. You can fall in a ditch or whatever. Fall in a ditch. But anyway, you could fall in a ditch, I guess. But especially with all this infrastructure stuff. Kathy, I figure fall in a ditch, I guess you can, right? One thing about Amos, he's a burden bearer. He bears the burden of his people. But at the end of the day, he is summoned by Yahweh. He must speak God's word, listen, when you speak God's word, what does it do? It brings either what? Talk to me. Life unto life or what? Death unto death. We know. That's why we repeat ourselves, right? Amos is responsible to bring the vision to light by the spoken word, being on the divine chain from God to the prophet, then to the people. No matter the severity of the message or the cost that it may bring, Amos depicts the lion roars, who but can prophesy? So I want to talk about this. I want to look at this divine chain, how this works out in our closing two sections of scripture here. I wanted to show, you know, Amos was a fig picker. He didn't come from a priestly family like Isaiah, or Isaiah was a priest. I mean, but God gave him the other dimensional aspect of the world. See, Ashley, listen, man. Cecilia, Kim, Rachel, Harlan, Ben, Marilyn. If we don't see the other dimensional aspect of the world, this is where we lie. We gotta I don't wanna sing it, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Right? Open the I wanna see you. Right? I don't wanna see here. I wanna see you. And that's what we need, divine introspection. Right, Jan? That's how we have to live our lives. So I wanna look at this other dimensional aspect. Here in the book of Revelation, go to Revelation. We're going to stop in two spots, right? So we see this other dimension. And I love this stuff because I want to speak about the supernatural things of God. We need that today, don't we? We need that today, Carolyn. We need to be reminded that God is sovereign. God is Angelique. We need to know that He is supernatural in this world that we live today. Right or wrong, Kevin? I mean, we need to know He is God and He is on the throne. Go to the first chapter of Revelation. Now, I want you to, I'm trying to make you guys be good readers of the text. You're going to see a divine chain right here. As I read this, you'll see a divine chain. And here's what I think about. I think I got this in my notes. I'll have to repeat myself, Kim. God owes us absolutely nothing. But notice what he does here in the first chapter of Revelation. Notice the divine chain, how this works. There's five prongs to this chain. Five. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even all that he what? Talk to me. Saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the what? The time is what? Near. Now look at that divine chain there, right? You got God, Christ, the angel, John, the people. I love that. Man, that's the other dimensional aspect of God. God gives this revelation to Jesus about things that must take place, communicated by signs to an angel and then to John and then to us. This is huge. This is the revelation of the outcome of the world's existence, which we know is in the hands of Jesus Christ. Amos puts one nation on notice, but John puts the whole world on notice. Now think about, I mean, this is how the Bible lines up so profoundly with this divine chain. Amos is speaking to one nation, but here, Miss Carolyn, John, through the divine chain, is putting the whole world on notice. See, this is too serious for me. You got to be careful of being so temporally minded. This is the book of Revelation showing you this divine chain: God, Christ, the angel, John, the people. And as we open the Word of God, this is where we're at here. And then it says, look what it says in verse 3. Now, wait a minute. I love this. Whoever reads and whoever hears will be blessed. And John, like Amos, will show these outcomes through signs and visions. But what is it for us? We have to what? Read and hear. Everything's going to be out in the open. John's going to get the divine chain. He's going to get the words and he's going to give it to the people. What's our responsibility? We have to read and we have to hear. That's our responsibility. My question, always, all the time, is are we reading and hearing our word? Are we in the Bible? Are we? Listen, this is, you know, well, of course, okay. Then maybe if I'm speaking to nobody, praise the Lord. But maybe I'm speaking to somebody that we're not reading our word enough. People say, well, of course I read Mama. Okay, well, praise the Lord. You can have a star or whatever, that's great. These are things, but my question is, maybe there's some people in here that are not reading. And then how are they going to hear from God if they're not reading? That's the divine chain. And this is a challenge for all of us. Because why, Kathy? Right? Because why? Because the world wants to keep us on this, on the temporally minded stuff, instead of seeing the vision, so to speak, that Elisha's prophet seen when he seen there was more for them, more for us than there is for them. And this is what we got here. Now, in the book of Revelation, there's this, I think, one of the most important visions in the book of Revelation. And it comes between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. And it lands in chapter 10. So go to chapter 10. And I think this is I want to close in this text here and hopefully make my point. And you're going to see, remember what I said at the end, remember what I said, Amos, what did Amos say? Let me go back, you know my memory a little bit. The last part of Amos turned around and said, mm-hmm. the lion roars, who but can prophesy? Right? So I want to start in the 10th division of Revelation. I want you to look at the chain here. There's a smaller chain here, but there's a chain. But remember, from the beginning, we got the five people in. We got God, Jesus, the angel, John, and then the people. So we got three other dimensions. Notice that. The text comes from other dimensional. It comes from God, Christ, the angel, to John, then the people. Right? So now watch what happens here in chapter 10. Now this is important because this has to do with now for us. I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book, which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea and his left hand on the land, sovereignty. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. When the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be no more what? Delay. No longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he's about to sound and the mystery of God is finished, and he preached to his servants, the prophets, then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me, saying, go and take the book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and the land. So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth, it will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth, it will be sweet as honey. I took the little scroll, little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And in my mouth it was sweet as honey, and when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Let me give you a little quick recap here. In the fifth, Bacham says in the fifth chapter, God gives this scroll to Jesus Christ. It's only him that can open it. Remember, opened by the lion, the tribe of Judah. You know what this scroll consists of? The whole end, the whole layout of what's going to happen in the end. And remember, John, remember, there was a silence in heaven and there was the scroll, and John is weeping because nobody's able to open the scroll. Do you understand? That's how it's going to be for people who don't have Christ. The Bible says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And here John is crying, and the angel tells John, halt, the lion, the tribe of Judah, will open the scroll. He's going to bring the end from, he's going to bring the beginning to the end. And here's this, so, but now wait a minute. Now there's the same scroll here, right? And the same scroll, and, you know, before I say that, you know, I was thinking about this rainbow. You know, my mind goes crazy, right? Beale depicts this rainbow represents the glory of the Lord. Not what the world today portrays a rainbow. Hello? I mean, think about this. Where do they get this stuff from? Patty, come on, you know. I mean, this is the rainbow here that's portraying the glory of the Lord. And today, what do they want to use a rainbow for? Right? Trample the word of God underfoot. But now the open scroll of the book, verse 2, is officially transferred in the divine chain to John. Bacham depicts this scroll contains the final stages of Christ's conquest over the world. So what about the seven thunders? I like that, right? The interesting, but the seven thunders, John is told not to write. Why? Because like Bacham depicts, there's no more delay. In fact, the lion will now roar for the last time. See, I mean, there's no more delay. There's no more seven thunders. There's no intervals. There's no, right now, there is no more delay, Miss Ashley. That's why, what's the little scroll? sweet, the gospel, right, to his mouth. Bitter, because when he preaches the gospel, he's going to preach life unto life and death unto death. And that's why he says, go prophesy. Go talk to many kings, many nations, because the end is what? Near. And here we see this picture here. And this is serious for me. You think about this. The lion will now roar for the last time. So John is told, go preach the gospel. He eats the scroll, which is sweet to his taste, but sour in his stomach. You know, you think about, I'm going to show you what this means. I'm going to dig deep just for a second. But isn't the gospel, Kathy, sweet to some and bitter to other? Right? I mean, that's ain't nothing really profound, but here's what we're seeing here. And I want you to get this. This section speaks of something much deeper, even more so than we read. This is a transfer of sovereignty. Think about that. The devil and those who are of his domain in this world, who's under his jurisdiction and his influence, will fall as he will. Though the vision tarry, it will surely come. The kingdom of light will now overtake the kingdom of darkness, and that is how it will end. Amos gave his people temporal warning shots. These are eternal warning shots. I put in our home group last night, we discussed about looking at things other dimensionally. We want to look at this world with a God perspective. Seek things that are above where Christ is seated, not on things below. The book of Revelation takes down the temporal curtain and gives us a glimpse of things to come. It reminds us what is at stake and what is important. This world is passing away, as we mentioned. All that glitters is not what? Gold. Paul says, do not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day by day. The inner man, the other dimensional aspect of who we are. See, the outer man is decaying. Wrinkles, we got them. And if you don't have them, you're going to get them. The outer man is decaying, but the supernatural, the other dimensional is being renewed day by day by day. What a picture. What a picture, Larry, of God's grace. Right? The outer man is decaying. And so here the outer man is decaying, and we want to spend so much time and give so much effort into this world that is here today and what? Gone tomorrow. But the inner man, the other dimensional aspect of who we are, is getting stronger day by day, by day. Because eventually, when it's all said and done, you will be forever with the Lord. Praise the Lord, Miss Carolyn, right? This is the other dimensional aspect of the Word of God, which I think we need, or if you don't, I need to hear. Because we are so focused on the here and now. Patty, you know, this world will steal our time like we don't know what tomorrow is. It will just take our time and just eat it up. And before you know it, we're standing before the judgment seat of God in Christ. Let's stand. Thank God for Amos. Dear Lord, thank you, Father, for your word. We are so grateful that our inner man is being renewed day by day by day. As we start getting the vision, so to speak, and the aspect of what is real and what's not, as the outer man decays, as this world is all that glitters is not gold, and we don't see this from made up things. We see it from a divine chain that starts with God the Father, God the Son, to the angel, to the prophet, to the people. What a blessing. What an honor. I mean, who are we that you would even give us these eternal truths? But you do, because you're a kind, merciful God, one we do not deserve. I pray, Lord, if somebody in here is just not where they need to be, please let God the Holy Spirit just open their hearts and believe the gospel and repent. For the time is near and the time is short. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord.